And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And look, this is going to be a very special show. We, like a lot of Richmond supporters, shocked, stunned, didn't know quite how to respond to the news of Damien Hardwick stepping down last night, but we thought we'd get some friends of the show on to help us talk through how we're feeling.
We outsourced our emotions, basically.
Yeah, we outsourced. We shamelessly called upon the friends, and look, honestly, these have been, you know, many of the friends that we've been lucky enough to make through the Damien Hardwick era. So, it felt like only fitting to try and talk through this experience with them. So, yeah, we're very grateful to all our guests.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. We've been going for almost 2 hours now recording, and you know, there's 10, 20 other people I'd love to have invited along as well, but eventually we have to go to bed. So, look, I really enjoyed the show, and I hope others do too.
And joining us now is someone who I hope needs no introduction to Richmond Tiger Talk listeners, and that's Andrew Sloman. And Slowey, I've been privileged to share some of Dimmer's greatest moments with you, sitting next to you, and some of the most special moments of my life. But who better person to come on to talk about what Damien Hardwick meant to them, to someone who's a Richmond supporter in the truest sense of the word? Slowey, what are your thoughts at the moment?
Firstly, good evening, gents. Thanks for the opportunity, because I feel like I need to just have a discussion. I couldn't think of two better people to do it, but I'm currently in New Zealand, and I feel like I'm really struggling to grieve, and I really appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you two and just have a discussion about Dimmer and what he has meant, what he means. I mean, it almost sounds like it's a funeral, and I sort of don't want it to be, but it is, and it's a reality, and so I think there's an adjusting time and a grieving process, but and it will take a little while for us all to adjust. But I did like something that Nick Vlosten put on Instagram today, which was about, it's don't be sad for what's gone by, but be happy for what we've experienced. And I'm slowly trying to turn around to that.
It was a beautiful quote.
That plan B of Emma Murray on thinking about the upset. Mm.
Yeah, it was beautiful words. Sorry,
Nick. Yeah, I did like somebody went through Dimmer's press conference and he mentioned the word people 32 times.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, the thing that I love and loved about Dimmer from a fan perspective was just his connection. And he talked about connection a lot today as well. But, you know, he really did, I think, connect with the fans. And, you know, there's every reason why, you know, we played exciting football. We achieved record crowds under his stewardship. And I know that was a far broader and deeper team effort. But, you know, the quality of how we played on the field, how he engineered and developed that, and then, you know, it just made us a really good team to watch. And we loved going to the games. And, you know, I know, you know, people would come from far and wide to watch the Tigers. And when you were there at the game and you caught up with people, that you, you know, that the game was almost the excuse to catch up with people as well. And it was all part of that general theme of connection that he really did engender in us. I know it's a bit deep. Sorry about that. It's late in the evening here in New Zealand. But, you know, the connection that he built was really important. And he always thought about, you know, he'd always thank the Tiger Army. He'd always focus on the Tiger Army. And, you know, even with the preseason camp, he always wanted to find some way of sort of connecting the fans to what we were doing. And sorry, it's very selfish of me, but I was very fortunate to be sort of involved in that role of connecting, you know, the fans to something like the preseason camp and like almost a sanctum type experience. So, you know, to me, that was Dimmer was really keen on that connection piece, and I think it really flowed through in all levels.
It was something actually Nick and I was discussing today, is even people like us who've, and I've only met Damien once personally and was too nervous to have an intelligent conversation. You could see his eyes glow over, but he was still very polite. But you felt he was always very authentic in press conferences. Like you felt, like part of the reason I think we're all so sad is we all felt like we knew him. You know, his press conferences were still, you know, he had to watch what he said, but he still felt very authentic.
Oh, he's, you know, his humour, that sort of boyishness humour that would come out and, you know, I think the players, that was part of, and again, this is very outside looking in, but obviously he had strong relationships with the playing group and you know, he could really relate and to players, to fans, to, you know, I have only really met him on a few occasions, but it was, you know, he'd always have a joke and a laugh and, you know, talk about the bad shirt you're wearing or the, and really make you feel at ease. You know, so Andy, next time you see him, he might joke about your biceps or something like that and really make you feel at ease. And he's just a very relatable and engaging coach that, we'll miss.
Slow, come on. You go, Nick.
Oh, look, I was thinking how much he's a symbol of how the place has changed. And, you know, there's dozens of people have put hundreds of hours into that task. But, you know, he's sort of been the very public, the very stressed face of it, and just really lucky.
You know, it's we were. I'm even struggling with the tense to use in describing it. But you know, again, all levels of the club bought into those key mantra elements that I think have really created such a wonderful era. You know, Peggy, Brendan, John, Damien, it was all a collective of, you know, focusing on these key elements around, you know, connection, being strong and bold in the way we played, you know, connecting to our fans, each other, you know, really important stuff that it needed to be lived by all, and I'm sure it still will be going forward. But, you know, Damien was an important part of that. And, you know, growing that from 2010 and forming these sort of soft pillars of the strategic plan, but I know that's a bit of consulting speak, but really driving it through and making it, you know, the fans relate to it, understand it, and really own it and buy into it. And that's why we're here today, I think, sort of grieving in a sense, you know, because it really has been a big part of what the last 10, 15 years have been all about. Sorry, it's a lot of cliches there, but...
No, not at all.
You know, it's just a multi-level sort of thing, but, yeah, you know, he was a real key to it.
Slowly,
and very much the visible key to it.
Slowly, I know it's late in New Zealand and we want to let you go, but I just want to ask you this final question, because, and we'll talk a bit about Nick afterwards, but to me, Dimmer, because of 2017, he'll always be my favourite Richmond coach. Yeah. You know, and this is an emotional reaction, you know, we'll probably never get anyone as good as him in my lifetime because I wasn't there for Hafey, but you know, hopefully we will. You never know.
I was going to say something about you, Andy, and the sort of the Dimmer barometer and the significance and the emotional importance of his reign, which really did come home to me. And you know what I'm going to talk about. It's probably two games, the 2017 grand final, when I was sitting with you and after Basher Hawley's goal in the first quarter, when I turned to you and you had a tear running down your cheek, and I said, mate, what's wrong? And you said, what were the words that you said again?
You're making me emotional. It was Richmond are in front in the grand final.
You said it like this. You said, we're in front.
I was going to ask you an emotional question and you've turned it on me.
I haven't even mentioned the Geelong qualifying final, but anyway.
That was just raw passion and emotion.
What were you going to ask, mate? Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, was there any more dimmer moment than that? That sequence of tackles on the half-forward flank in front of us, I think it was in the second quarter. That is quintessential dim football. But the question I wanted to ask you, Slowey, is you were lucky enough to grow up in the Hafey era, so I'm asking you an emotional question, not a rational question.
I was very young. I was very young. So
It's picking between his children.
How do you sort of, when that question comes up, how do you even think? I mean, because you know Damien Hardwick as a human being, but you know, Tommy Hafey was this godlike figure of your youth. Are you able to reconcile these two great coaches in any way?
Well, I was born at the start of the Hafey era. So, in the first premiership. So that's giving a bit away. So I was pretty young for the early days, but 73. Probably the one that I didn't remember much about 73 and 74. But 80 was the one that certainly, you know, that was the one that I thought, here we go, here's the era. You know, we beat Collingwood by 80 points. I know I'm not really answering your question, Andy, but I thought, here we go. And then 1992, we flick it again, and then we just, you know, entered the Ice Age. And meteors flew over and hell froze over, and it became so I think Dimmer's, you know, to lead us out of that Ice Age, I think, is and give us the joy of 2013, 2014, and the 9-game run is something that I never forget, because I went to all of them, and that went to get us into 2014. And then it was sort of the to reinvent himself in 2016, or the 2016-17, and to see on that preseason camp, you know, the Triple H being introduced, and not that I sat in on those, that was one thing we didn't, but to reinvent and then go again, really, you know, is an incredible reflection, I think, on his ability to, understand where he was at, what needed improving, and the foresight of the board to run with it, is an amazing achievement that, I'm just thinking about reconciling that to Hafey, and did he ever really have to go through like a metamorphosis like that?
I think, if to answer it rationally, and I was going to save this for a conversation with Nick later, I don't think you can compare pre-draft, pre-signing cap era to current. I think it's just a hard line. And
that's right.
I respect the, you know, some people slightly older than you, Slowey, that I know have said, they will say Hafey, but I think that's as much as an emotional reaction as, you know, the first premiership's the best.
My long-winded answer was somewhat jaundiced by trying to get over the fact that you've classified me as being like a Hafey era person, that I was
10 years away. You're quite right. Sorry, that was very unfair.
Moving on gracefully, Slowey, sort of, For a final question, there might be some Richmond supporters surprised at how Minnie McWalter's been chosen as the interim coach ahead of two former senior coaches in Teague and Rutten. But what's your perspective on that?
Minnie's a wonderful. Everyone's wonderful at Richmond in my eyes. Minnie's a wonderful person. He's got a wonderful sense of humour that I always, whenever I do run into him, I remark about his driving, but that's another story. He's currently mids coach and, he was mids coach. So I don't know how that structure is going to work now, that he's the senior coach or acting senior coach. But, I'd like to say I think they could all do the role. But Minnie, that's an exciting opportunity for him. He's been in our system for a while, and good on him.
Yep, a wonderful opportunity, and I can't wait to get to know him a bit better. As a, you know, once you're the senior coach, you're on the media much more, and yeah, I think we're all looking forward to the discovery process.
Absolutely, he's a good fellow, Minnie, as they all are. And thank you for the opportunity to have this sort of grieving process.
We'd both rather be doing it over a Shiraz at the London, but, you know, good substitute.
Collective therapy.
Or a Central Otago Pinot Noir, but I needed it and I really appreciate the invite.
You're a good man, Slowey.
Thanks, Slowey.
And joining us now is a man who's infamous in his own mind in Richmond circles, Daniel Flitton, former Age journalist, author of an article that probably no one's ever heard of unless they follow Dan on Twitter, in which case they're a minor.
Or have spoken to him in the queue at the supermarket.
in which case they're reminded on a weekly basis. But Daniel Flitton, good evening and welcome to the podcast.
My kids are very impressed by this article in which you're rubbishing, but yes. Thank you, boys. I think this is a very good initiative.
Now, Dan, thanks for joining us. We're all processing how we feel over the events of the last 36 hours. What does Damien Hardwick mean to you?
Yeah, it's fascinating how football worms its way, or being a fan, I should say, worms its way into every aspect of your life. And the thing that I realised late after the news had broken was Damien Hardwick, coach of Richmond for going on over 13 years. My eldest son recently turned 13. He has only ever known Damien Hardwick as a Richmond coach. But in that same time, my son's seen seven prime ministers come and go across that period. And I thought to myself, well, this is a podcast about statistics, so I'd gather a few little statistics that overlap my interest in politics and in football at the same time. And it actually took me, I worked it out, it took me 37 years to see seven prime ministers. And 37 years, of course, we all know that's how long it was between Richmond premierships as well. But it took me 37 years after I was born until the seventh prime minister came along. But it only took me 13 years until I saw seven Richmond coaches go through. Oh,
last one. Good start.
We've had this remarkable stability in the club in the last 13 years. And I was thinking about this in the context of my interests. And, you know, stability is a really nice word, and another word for it is dictatorship. So we've had the dictatorship of Dimmer, and we've been happy under the Dimmesty, as I've seen people refer to it as hashtag Dimmesty for our three premierships. But, you know, like you think about it, that is the role of a football coach. It's different from a prime minister. There's no elections. This is not a democracy. And Jack, you'll remember, found this out early in Dimmer's tenure, because I remember one stage Jack coming out in a press conference and complaining that Dimmer was trying to get Richmond to play like Hawthorn being the team that was winning premierships at the time. But
oh, yes, I remember that moment well.
Well, yeah, and we had in our dictatorship of Dimmer, we also had some slogans that we were quite familiar with. You know, we heard a lot about the journey. There was the fact of the matter. There was absolutely outstanding. We understand that. That was another phrase that he loved to use. A great understanding of that. An outstanding group of people. All of these things that were quite familiar that Dimmer used to say.
Dan, look, at the end of the day, it's a hard job being the Richmond football coach.
Yeah, and these are all fun. And I say this as for fun because these are all like footballing cliches. But for me, the one that really stood out was, and you mentioned it in your earlier comments, is this notion of processing. But process was a term that was used all the time to describe our, particularly through the successful years, our means of play. And I remember Shane Edwards at one stage saying, you know, I think it was on the week of the qualifying final or something like that in 2019, and then maybe 2017, and then he was saying, oh, I mean, I'm thinking about whether or not at the end of the grand final I might go dancing around on the field. No, get back to the process. He was joking. So what I've been thinking about, long way of answering the question, what I've been thinking about since Dimmer's announced his departure is my process as a fan each week. What do I do to deal with either a victory, and we've had lots of those in the last few years, or a loss, and probably more for a loss. And for me, and this is partly because I'm an old journalist, no emphasis on old, Andy.
I heard it.
What I always did was win or lose, my habit was always to watch Dimmer's press conference as soon as I could, particularly for a loss. And I'd watch that press conference, partly because I'd listen with the ear of somebody who'd worked as a journalist. So I was trying to listen for myself. What's the story here? But more, I think I was listening for some hint about what might happen next, or some hope for how we were going to recover, or for a win, some way of being able to get an insight into what this particular victory meant or how the march was going to go forward for us. And I think that really changed over the years, of course, as we gained more and more success. But when I think back to the press conferences that I remember, it was often the ones that were after the losses. So for me, what I think's happened, in what I've realised in the last sort of 24 hours or so, is that process. My fascination is not only with the tactics that are on the field, but also with the byplay that comes on after it. So I'm really going to miss that part of it, because Dimmer was actually a pretty good performer. He was an interesting character to watch and to listen to. There were, you know, jokes, and there were lighter times, and there were darker moments, and sometimes he could make you really angry with some of the things he could say, and other times he could make you really elated. But for me, I found that almost cathartic, and I think it's just part of the fun of being a fan.
Mm. One thing I took from the press conference today was how, you know, for something that was thrown together at the last minute, it was very genuine, both to Dimmer and to the club, and also that how genuinely Dimmer sat down and had a beer with Brendan Gale, you know, to talk about, you know, that he didn't have the passion for it anymore. And you think, God, how few coaches get to have that agency at the end of their career. Like, you know, the idea of Clarkson and Kennett being in the same room together is ludicrous. Like, it's pretty exceptional.
It is. And he said something today about, you know, wanting to leave happy. And that's probably important advice for any job if you can afford to do it. and you have that opportunity. But you know, I was sitting there in that press conference, and I often think with these things, you know, what are the questions that weren't asked, and what are the things that we still want to know? And I just wish someone had have stuck their hand up and said, "Okay, I want you to choose between your children. Which was your favourite of the three premierships?"
that's an interesting question, isn't it?
Mm.
Which is the favourite of yours, Dan?
Look, I watched the 2020 one with a couple of mates, and we were all in lockdown, and that was pretty extraordinary because it was a tense game. But for me, it was 2019. I know it was a blowout, but I got to take all of my children, which was really fun. And basically, it's, what was it, 98,000 of your family as Tigers family, because there was only a handful of Giants fans. And I remember sitting there in the first quarter, and two of my kids were sitting under a coat playing some game of tents or something, and all I could think of was, God, I've paid so much money to get you guys in here and arranged all this, and you could at least watch the game. And it was really tense in that first quarter. And then once we started winning, the kids just came to, and we just cheered everything. And at the end of it, none of us could speak, and it was just heaps of fun.
Mm. Okay, well, Dan, we said we'd go for 5 minutes, and I think your opening monologue smashed that by several minutes. But I have a final question for you, and this is a little bit inside baseball, but I think it's the podcast listeners should know we are on a group chat with another friend of ours, perhaps one we're interviewing a bit later. And you on that podcast often quote a friend of yours who will go nameless, but you've nicknamed him Dimmer Hating Mate.
Yes.
Because he often says negative.
Listens to your podcast too, so he's going to know now.
Does he? And so he often says very negative things about Dimmer, you know, in the heat of the moment. And we all understand it's just fans letting off steam. But Dan, you know, this is an emotional time, but it's time of healing, time of growth. Is it time that you admit that Dimmer Hating Mate is actually you, and that you're talking about yourself in the third person?
No, I'm not nearly clever enough to be Dimmer Hating Mate. Dimmer Hating Mate is an extraordinary fella in himself too. But his frustration in the last few years, I think, is reflected in all the debates that people have, and it's something that you've commented on, Andy, on the podcast from time to time, is the way in which if you're in a relationship with someone, some of their habits start to wear on you over time. And I've felt on occasion some of the things that Hardwick's done and said post-match have just been unnecessary, that he's alienated umpires, or he's deliberately picked fights with the media or whatever it is. But then ultimately it's all an entertainment product as well, and I think that he really understands that.
Yeah.
He understood that this is a game that people like to watch, and that's what was so great about his game plan, you know, that well, at least after 2017, was that freedom of it. It just became just intoxicating to watch. I just loved Richmond through this period.
Look, it's fair to say, and like, it's a one-way relationship, right, because he doesn't know us other than people screaming in the stands, but it feels like we've been in a relationship with him for 13 years.
Well, apparently he knows Conrad Marshall really, really well. I mean, I've heard this is apparently a thing.
On national TV, apparently Marshall knows him.
You know, I mean, I have heard, I mean, this may be revealing news here, but I have heard that some of the players don't have a clue who Conrad Marshall is, so...
Yeah, I heard it can be quite awkward when he approaches them in social situations.
Just keep that between you two, okay? And
yeah, we'll edit this out later. Don't worry about it.
No, don't do it.
Dan, it's been great to chat.
Yeah, no, sorry I spilled over, but it's one of these things that it's a moment. I mean, people say, I was talking about prime ministers, people say that the captain of the Australian cricket team was more important than the prime minister. Well, I think it's the coach of the Richmond Football Club is the most important position now. So we get to watch Minnie for a while, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Indeed. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. And we're very lucky now, joined by another friend of the podcast, Sean. How are you feeling, mate?
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on. It's really nice to be asked. I'm probably like everyone else, just in a little bit of shock that kind of wrapped up Dreamtime and we're all kind of licking our wounds, and then what, not even 48 hours after that, we find out we're getting a new coach next weekend. So I think from all our perspectives, and I know you guys are the same, the coach of your sporting team plays a really kind of big part in your life when you're as into it as our guys. So and he's been a big part of our life, what, for 13-odd years, and now someone else is going to be, and it's all a bit much at the moment.
It is, and especially guys like Dusty and Dylan Grimes, you know, real respected leaders and veterans, and that they've never played for another coach. Just
And that caught, probably the one thing that caught me a bit today, I was thinking about that, about Dusty. Even the one game he played for Victoria, Dimmer coached him. So he knows nothing else. And I'll probably think, like you guys, I would have read everything today, and I probably think that we almost, and I know someone, and you guys had a chat on the pod a few weeks ago now about one of the things about having a coach for that long is you get to know their weaknesses as much as their strengths, and you kind of focus on them because that's what we do. And I'm a little bit sad for Dimmer today, that every article seems to have the, and he had Dustin Martin, and he had Alex Ranson, and as he had Jack Riewoldt tagged onto it, because he was a phenomenal coach. He's the best coach we'll probably ever have as Richmond supporters. And I don't think he gets the credit for that. I think the people talk a lot about the wellness and the approach to kind of just having fun and loving life. Not a lot of people talk enough of about is that there's probably six guys right now trying to chase the blueprint that Richmond brought in 2017.
Well, I know it's frustrating that Collingwood have come closest. Yeah,
with Oleg.
Yes. Look, I genuinely think, and we'll talk about this a bit after you're off, but I genuinely think he changed the game in the tactics that every team now uses, the forward hand, fast, and the play on. Like, you compare even sort of the 2018 Eagles. I know that was after our first flag, but they were the last of the old era of football sides, and football has changed forever of what that 2017 side did. And look, I couldn't agree more with us on, he had so many rookie lists and late draft players in that team, and there are plenty of great players who are, Dusty is a legend because of what he did in grand finals and finals, but plenty of great players never get that opportunity.
And Dusty wasn't always Dusty. Dusty, up until the year before, really, we all loved him, but hey, don't even scratch the surface. And that just doesn't happen. Like, that happens because of the whole club and everyone around it. But the coach drives it. It's like the CEO, not the CEO in a normal organisation, not a football club.
Mm. Yeah, saying it's all Dusty, 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 like, you know, that guys like Jacob Townsend is a premiership player. You know, Jason Castagna is a multiple premiership player. Like, it was a team effort.
Like, Nathan Broad went from kind of part-timer and the waffle to really kind of, like, people talk about Tom Stewart, and of course they're going to, but like, Nathan Broad's a guy that other clubs are going to go and get because he does a job every week no matter what you want. And that's another thing that just doesn't happen. That's a culture thing, that's a strategy thing, and that's a embracing that kind of story in a football club.
Yeah, and you consider even Alex Rance, how Rory was when he started. You know, we remember this all godlike all Australian, but he was a second round draft pick.
Yeah, and you guys have chatted a few times. He was playing whack when we had a VFL reserves team. He was playing VFL reserves. Mm. And not imagine, like, he's be first kind of, he'll be in the Hall of Fame before long, and probably be the last one to ever play VFL reserves, I would imagine.
Well, except Dylan Grimes played VFL reserves at the start of his career,
right,
as well.
And Ivan Soldo, future Hall of Fame mower, would have played VFL reserves as they still existed when he came into the club.
Do you have a single favourite moment, Sean, that's really sticking out for you?
I have lots, and I've drilled in on, I kind of want to take, I think about 2020, and just everything that was happening there. And I'll kind of, and you guys know me, you two know me, for everyone else, I adore the media side of things and kind of read way too much into what Chris Scott says about us or what Dimmer says about us or who does a press conference. There was a press conference in August in 2020, and we'd had a pretty rough start to the year, and you think about the world was having a rough start. But we really kind of staggered back from the lockdown and things like that, and we had a really terrible loss to Hawthorn, St Kilda, and a weird game against Collingwood. And Dimmer wandered out to our press conference after a pretty uninspiring win against Gold Coast when everyone was out for Tom Lynch. It was one of those weeks that he'd been reported twice, been fined twice, and Dimmer just went all guns blazing on David Schwartz, of all people, who just copped it. And it was one of those real moments, and Dimmer's had a few of them in the media, and he's fiercely loyal, which is probably 90% of his strengths and 10% of his weaknesses, is that fierce loyalty. And he just went David Schwartz for a pretty innocuous thing he'd said in the media about Lynch that week. And it was really that fusing together of that 2020 side that everyone is out to get us. Every single person is out to get us. They're coming for us for a lockdown. They're coming for us at Cochins. They're coming at us for this. A month later, they were coming at us for Coleman Jones and Stack. And he really fused that team together in that hotel in Gold Coast to just be one against the world. And you go right through to that phenomenal halftime chat clip that's been doing the rounds at the moment where, and just Jaden Schwartz just looking into his eyes and would do anything for him. And I think that was one of the beauties of Dimmer, is that he fierce loyalty, and it drove us mad sometimes in selection or in position changes or those kind of things. But just that ability to fuse that team together in that situation and ride the wave of everything against them. Everything was against everyone that year, but particularly aside from Melbourne, who had no home base, and fused them together, and they rode them all the way to what was his final premiership at Richmond.
And in some ways, I think it's not my personal favourite premiership, but analytically, I think that's his greatest premiership.
Yeah, my very personal reasons for 2019 is my favourite. But I think to beat, I've got thoughts on the 2020 and where it stands, but to go in a preliminary final to one of the few teams that year in that finals who had home ground advantage in a final and beat a pretty good Port Adelaide side in front of a packed crowd. They'd been sleeping in their own beds for 2 months. Richmond had been travelling around the world, seemingly travelling around the world. I think that's that. Yeah, from a pure achievement of man management, I don't think it gets much better than that.
Yeah, that's really well said. I mean, I also meant in the perspective, is he changed the game plan?
Oh, yeah.
And that was, to me, that was when he went from the coach I loved to the coach. I just remember being in awe of how well coached that team was. That
yeah.
The ability to shift gears and play a different way.
Completely agree. And a lot of those 2019 guys who looked like kids in the flag before, Baker and Bolton, the two that jump out to me. I still remember Bolton looking like a kid in the 2019 grand final. 12 months later, we're really genuine stars of that team, and then throw in Noah Bolter, who came from nowhere and just blitzed Tom Hawkins in that grand final. It was probably we'll look at that as what was the start of the transition for the next thing, because that's when that next step, with the help of a certain Dustin Martin, really started to step up a bit.
We could even win close games in those days.
we must have been training them better than we are now.
All right, Sean, we really appreciate you coming on, mate, and sharing your thoughts. It's an emotional time for us all, and you're helping us deal with it.
Well, it is always a pleasure to be asked, and thank you so much. Long live the new king, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well said.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, guys.
And joining us now from his many media commitments is someone who's been described as the person who knows Damien Hardwick the best. And it's Conrad Marshall, friend of the podcast, and it's great to have you on the show, Con.
It's great to be on the show. That is totally not accurate. Waleed Ali got that wrong, for sure.
Anyway, it was a nice comment. It was a good interview. Well done. But we're not here speaking to Conrad Marshall, the author. We're speaking to Conrad Marshall, the fan, And we want to hear your reaction to Dimmer's resignation.
I get sadder with every passing minute. You know, I learned about it by text message as I got off the plane after coming and visiting you. And it was just a shock to the system at first. I didn't really want to compute it. There were all these WhatsApp message groups going off, including between you and myself and another friend of the podcast, Dan Flitton. And you'll note that while you and Dan were going back and forth, I was not engaging at all. And I haven't been willing to engage with it. I barely posted anything on Twitter until I just put something out on like retweeting a little guest spot I did on the project. But I don't know. I'm going to be working on a little story about it for The Age, just a small column that should go up online at some point tomorrow, and maybe that'll help me clarify some of those feelings. But just sad, really sad, because it marks the end of an era with such finality. Like, we all knew that, suspect that sort of Koch and Jack will be coming to the end this year. We know that Peggy's gone. We have this the little bit of looming dread that maybe Brendan Gale will get seduced and taken in by AFL House to help with the sort of the stealth build of the Tassie team. And imagine it, if you take all of those out and Dimmer, that's just every key plank apart from Dusty from this era gone at the end of this year. And that's terrifying.
Yeah. I was actually feeling a little bit better after watching the press conference today, which I thought they did a very good job with, and about the celebration of the people. And yeah, now you've just regressed me back to pure primeval fear.
Well, that's the thing, right? We swing between the good and the bad on this. We're eternal sort of – well, I'm an eternal optimist. A lot of people have sort of said to me that I'm probably the most optimistic Richmond supporter that they know. I've always sort of refused to look on the dark side of life. And this week tests that. But at the same time, silver linings abound, you know. Maybe a fresh voice is what's needed. Remember the off-season of 2016. Like, so much great stuff happened, changes within the people like Dimmer and like Koch and new personnel and new ideas. But there were also all those new voices. Like, all of those assistant coaches that left were replaced with new ones, not necessarily better ones, but different ones, a different voice. And maybe that's something that kind of will help stimulate this group going forward. I don't know.
And Andrew McWalter was one of those assistant coaches. He'd been a development coach for a couple of years in the VFL and was promoted to the senior panel for 2017, yeah.
Good point. So maybe lifting a guy like that up and having him stamp some of his own IP or ideas on this group is what it'll need. I was also thinking, you know how Richmond always seem to cop teams immediately after they've lost their coach?
Yeah.
And then think, yeah, well, we get to hand that to someone this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. It's sort of a different circumstance, because normally when coaches go, they're sort of pushed, whereas Dimmer very, in the truest sense of the word, jumped. But yeah. Now, Con, I don't want you to speak as the Age journalist, but you do know Dimmer a bit. You've spent some time with him. You're even lucky enough to spend some time in the box. What do you think? Is there something that fans who just know him and frankly love him from his public persona, is there something about him that really struck you behind the scenes when you met him personally?
I mean, I was quite amazed at, maybe not amazed, but I was surprised by the fact that he truly doesn't care about a lot of the media stuff that goes on. I mean, I know he lashes out at journos sometimes in those tetchy post-match presses, but that's when the blood is up, right? And people are asking probing questions and he doesn't want to answer them. But for the most part, he really doesn't care about what's being said outside. And that's not something that I reckon you can say for all of them. I reckon when, for instance, and this is Conrad, the author, answering, but like when I was putting together those books, I remember he used to just not even want to read them. Like, people who were doing the the kind of the edits within the club, looking at what we could include and what we couldn't include, they would sometimes take passages to him and be like, do you reckon this is okay? Are you okay with being quoted this way? He's like, I don't care. And then they would ask him again and he was, I do not care. Like, just completely, I don't know, a self-aware guy who has no interest in the way that media portrays him. He's, which I guess is a really long way of saying he was just kind of focused on the job and working with people and nutting out weird footy solutions.
Yeah. Now, I know you're battling the flu, so we won't keep you too long, Con. We do appreciate it.
No problem.
But last question, favourite Dimmer moment?
Favourite Dimmer moment? Oh, that's so hard for a question without notice. look, I think it was all of those little stories that he would share before the games with players, particularly the 2017 iteration. He'd put up all these little A3 pictures and they'd be the strangest things. You couldn't figure out where he was going to go with them. Like, it'd be a picture of some old busted Blundstone boots and he'd have some story and that was the theme for the game for the day. And those are the things that sort of stick with me the most when I think back to the time in the club. My favourite one of all time was the 2017 grand final. The A3 picture was mugshots of 24 players and they all had really stupid expressions. They were like action photos of them with their eyes half closed or their cheeks kind of sucked in or their jaw askew, and he called them the munted heads photos.
I bet you Sean Hampson was still handsome.
Absolutely. And these munted heads, the whole story was we're imperfect and we're weird and we do strange things and we're individuals and odd and I love yous, you know, and go out there and show your individuality on the field. And, so I think as much as he was had a lot of tactical acumen and brought in a lot of programs that could kind of motivate people, at his heart, he was just sort of this humanist who loved his boys deeply and got the results that way.
Yeah, well said. I mean, most people just answer the 2019 grand final or something like that. That was a great answer. And Con, you don't have to respond to this, but we've already interviewed Dan Flitton and he refused to admit that Dimmer hating mate wasn't him.
The evidence is mounting.
Yes. Mate, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Cheers.
Thanks, Con.
Go Tigers.
Well said.
And we're very pleased to have a first-time guest of the show, but a long-time friend of the show. Loz, welcome.
Hello, Nicholas and Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Look, it's been a big 24 hours for all of us. How are you feeling? How are you coping with it all?
Oh, I think there's been probably sadness, there's been tears, there's been nostalgia. I think I've been through the wave of emotions, but I think probably one of the biggest things that was the perhaps I can finally admit that beautiful era is over. And there's a lot of feelings with that.
Yeah, it is. It's a time for reflection, isn't it? And what did you think of his press conference?
Oh, look, I only did catch parts. I don't have access during the day to my phone at work, so it's probably a good thing. When I did watch part of it, I did just cry. I think that was just, I think that one of the things he's always shown is his vulnerability and the authenticity of the love for the players, the love for the club. And I think that will be something really important as his legacy.
Yeah, that connection with these players, just incredibly genuine. And Dylan Grimes just seemed stunned in his press conference. I did have the thought that that's enough, bombshell retirements for a while. Thanks. It's just a lot to deal with.
Yeah, I think we were all bracing for, you know, Koch and Jack and whatever else may happen in the year. But I think it just took, I think it's the shock that took us by surprise. But I don't know, a bit like Ash Barty, I get it. I get it very much. But I think as Richmond supporters, we've just loved everything so much.
So when you look back at the Aerolos, do you sort of have a few favourite moments or, you know, that can be on field or just the way Dimmer acted in a particular moment?
Yeah, I think for me, like his legacy is that he's really innovated the game and he brought this system of really, you know, some great stars, obviously, but some he made ordinary players become legends and part of Richmond folklore and footy folklore. I think his connection and the way he brought everyone together. You know, I will miss Big Boy Month. That was a big thing that, you know, Big Boy Month. Happy Big Boy Month. But I think for me it was just overarching. Like, I mean, you could pick moments in time, but for me it was he really helped us all to dream again and believe in that magic that was somehow just sprinkled throughout that 2017 season and I guess in the subsequent 2019 premiership, the redemption. But I think as well for me it's a lot about during COVID how that team got us through so many hard times and how we won that given all the circumstances is still unbelievable. But you know, premiership cups are beautiful shiny things, but I think for me it's the moments with family that I never thought I'd see and feel, and they're real and they're moments we'll have forever. But it's also the beauty of finding Richmond friends and having Richmond family. So I think when he said, you know, it really is about the people that you share the moments with, I really think that that's probably my favourite part.
It's very true because pre-2017 it was easy to, you know, the lovable loser Richmond or the, you know, the cursed. In dark moments, I wondered if we were going to ever win a premiership again. Like, yeah, it just completely rewired what it meant to be a Richmond supporter.
Yeah, and I think he somehow took all of these Richmond pieces of a puzzle and put them back together. But somehow he found missing pieces that we didn't think we needed or we couldn't find for 37 years. And, you know, I think it's not just him, obviously, you know, it's Peggy, Brendan, Barmy, all the players, but he managed to bring us all along with him. And, you know, somehow that was the missing link. Everyone talked about Richmond's passionate fans. Well, he embraced us and that's something that, you know, he's made our club whole again. And that's something that, you know, we can be forever grateful for, but it's a legacy of that entire playing group that we've had over the time and our president and all the people. But yeah, I think that his legacy is the gift that he gave us back, you know, not the 5-year plans and not all the heartbreak, but he actually gave us a club that we're, you know, we are strong and bold.
And Jacob Townsend. You gave us Jacob Townsend.
And, of course, Jacob Townsend. And, you know, again, that's a moment. You know, Dimmer was imperfect. He wasn't, you know, we're all imperfect, but he was imperfect. And, you know, he made us believe, why not us? So then when, you know, obviously Jacob Townsend got the call up, you know, he thought, why not me? And, you know, the Jacob Townsend Appreciation Society is there because of that reason.
I can't believe it, Loz. We've already spoken to Slowey, and he made me really emotional when he spoke to us. But yeah, you've done it again. Just I think it's the quote is about. This is a Sean quote, which he didn't say when we interviewed him. But I'm just someone looking at his football club, hoping that his football club loves him back. And Dimmer gave us a club we were proud of.
Yeah, and a club that does love us back, and I love our club.
Oh, you got, yeah.
Look, Loz, before you go, thank you. You've been great, and there's some we really appreciate you sharing your thoughts. But I just wanted to pay tribute to you because you're my go-to AFLW expert whenever I sort of want to know what's really going on with the tactics or the players. You're always a fount of knowledge and wisdom.
All right, yeah. And now you'll have to come back on when we do the season preview.
Nice work. And I have to do a shout out to Dima though, because I have seen him actually in a lot of AFLW stuff. So that was really impressive that he turned up and showed up for the women's teams as well.
Yeah, good one.
All right. Thanks, Loz.
Thanks.
Loz. And welcome to another good friend of the show, returning guest. Ryan, it's been a big day. How are you feeling about it all?
Well, so firstly, thank you for having me aboard. I definitely feel that this is as intensive therapy as I've probably ever had. We all knew, of course, that this day would come. I was to some degree starting to plan for it. I thought maybe at the end of the year, but for it to come so quickly. Certainly been a big shock, and certainly mixed feelings. Certainly sad that it's ended so abruptly, and I'm sure we'll have some opportunity to farewell him, but for it to already be over so quickly, I'm still having to come to terms with that, but also seeing across sort of Richmond social media just the outpouring of love and people sharing their stories was an absolute tonic for the soul. So working through it, but certainly grateful to be in this position where we can express such pure emotion about departing a coach, because I suspect anyone of around my vintage would know we haven't really had this opportunity before.
Not so much. If you look, so Matthew Richardson signs for Richmond under John Northey, and rapidly transitions through Robert Walls, Jeff Geesham. He's barely turned 25 years old and playing for his fourth senior coach. The stability was hard won and gracefully received by all of us, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure I'm not the first to mention it, but the fact that Dusty's only ever played under one coach, he's played so many games, it's just really incredible to think about.
So, Ryan, when you look through all the special moments, is there one or two that, and we've had so many amazing victories and so many special times, is there something that you particularly associate with Dimmer?
Look, I've been thinking about this all day, and I really wanted to come up with a contrarian pick, like some obscure game or some obscure moment that no one really could quite, not everyone might not remember, but I honestly just couldn't go past that third quarter of the 2019 prelim. The team is on the ropes. Jack Graham can't lift his arms. Cochin and Dusty are looking pretty proppy. Umps are killing us. I thought we were done. And just the way we came out in that third quarter and just absolutely perfectly executed pure Hardwick footy with that intense pressure and intense tackling, and we broke them within seconds. And I just think that encapsulates what that era was all about. And on sort of pretty much the biggest stage, like the flag was decided that night. And then when it most counted, the style of game plan that he brought was what got us through. It wasn't necessarily a Dusty quarter for the ages, although he played well. It wasn't 2020 when he carried the team on his back. It was just absolutely sticking to that game plan and that intense pressure, just perfectly executed. Is the one moment that would always particularly sticks with me. I think the other thing...
That's a great answer, by the way. We haven't had that one yet.
Oh, thank you. I think more broadly, I did really want to bring up just Dimmer's courage, and not necessarily as a player, although he had plenty there, but as a coach. So after the end of 2016, obviously the club, right decision, backed him in, but it would have been very easy for him in that decision, in that position, to play very conservatively, come up with a very conventional game style. Enough talent on the list. 2016 was an aberration, but to grind through 13 or so wins and have another golden elimination final. But with it all on the line, if 2017 had gone badly, he was done. To come up with such a revolutionary game plan, to double down on speed and pressure in a way that hadn't been seen before, to allow Dusty that freedom to play basically without being accountable, but having a system in place that they covered for him, it could have very easily not worked. And our season could have been over in a quarter and a half like it was in 2009. But that he had the courage to do that and essentially take us to somewhere where we never thought we could possibly go. I think that that is, for me, what I'm most grateful for, and for all the success that brought us, that courage is what made him special.
Yeah, there's there's been a lot of very good writing today, but the quote from Jay Croucher wrote for The Raw, their beauty was in the grind, the knowledge that wherever the ball was, whatever the state of play, they were just a little bit harder than the opposition and a little bit smarter. Yeah, it was a remarkable achievement in just transforming the idea of Richmond to something we'd never experienced, of us leading the competition, of us transforming the way football's played and how the team could play in sync with each other.
And we felt like the most competent club in the AFL. And you almost took it for granted.
Oh, we absolutely did. Now, I was never greedy, obviously, growing up in very lead times. I always just said, I just want to see us win one, and I would have been fine with us winning a Bradbury flag, if such a thing is possible. But to actually have everyone hate us because we were so good for such a long period of time, it really was beyond wild dreams.
Delicious. Yeah.
Oh, so it was so nice.
Bring it on.
And we'll always have that. And all the connections that come out of all that success and all of the friendships that, you know, we've been able to, that for me is also the best part. In many ways, sort of 2019, even though the game itself wasn't perhaps the most exciting, the grand final, but just being able to celebrate with all these friends I'd made because of 2017 was just so special. And essentially, I mean, success has many parents, but it wouldn't have been possible without Dimmer. So always very grateful.
Do you remember the kick we had at the MCG car park before the game?
Very fondly, yes.
Yeah. 2019 is getting a lot of love on this show.
In a way, it's almost like if 2017 was maybe you know, your first kiss or with your crush or something. Like 2019 was sort of the wedding. It was sort of like just the realization of everything. It was really, in some ways, it was more special because you just got to share it. That was my experience anyway, share it with so many more people.
Yeah, I agree. And like I've already said this, but 2020 might not have been my favourite emotional premiership, but the genius of it was, to me, that's when Hardwick's genius was most apparent, because he found a second gear or a third gear as a coach.
Yeah, I think that Port Adelaide prelim, I think, often gets overlooked. If you go back and watch that, we play a completely different game style to what we had had played. Admittedly, it was in the wet, but we'd played plenty. We'd always been a good team in the wet, but to double down on a contested game style against an elite contested ball team and beat them on their deck in front of an almost entire Port crowd, I think is probably sort of the triumph that really cements him as one of the great coaches.
Yeah.
Well said, Ryan, and thanks for joining us.
No, absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
It's been very therapeutic to I've enjoyed you and I've enjoyed all our other guests. So thanks, mate, and catch up soon.
Yep, take cheers, care. Ron. Cheers. Bye.
And last but not least, joining us is well-known Richmond raconteur Simon Wallace. And Simon, I know you're the shy retiring type, so we really appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts on the podcast tonight, because we're all dealing with this huge change in our lives. How are you feeling?
Yeah, look, evening, gents. Evening. I kind of feel like I've buried a beloved pet in some way, and I don't know if I'm missing the pet or the memories of when that pet was a puppy and all the growing up that I've seen go on with my children and all the wonderful times. Stoic, I'm holding up. Be happy that it happened, not sad that it's over and so forth, but I feel incredibly grateful, indebted, and as a parent, I can't help but think that the Dimmer era has shaped my growing up as a parent and my children growing up as well. And I'm very grateful that my children have seen their dad very happy, emotional, fulfilled, proud, and 'twas not always so for kiddies listening at home.
No. I deeply appreciate that my 10-year-old daughter has seen more premierships than Eddie Maguire.
Yeah, and I think just the sheer randomness and the lotto-like nature of this success, which I know wasn't down to blind luck by any stretch, but I dug out a few stats from 2016 because important to remember where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
I think if anything, it's underplayed just how extraordinary 2017 was. From 2010. Forgive me if I quote some stats here to you. I hope that's not.
it's a first, but we'll allow it.
Please continue, Simon.
So from 2010 to 15, 47% of the players we drafted were delisted by 2016, which was far and away the highest percentage of any club. And from 2010 to 2015, we ranked last in the whole comp for senior games played by any of our draftees. So our draftees just weren't getting delisted. They weren't even getting to play. So he was not dealing with a full hand, and he just needed to uncover a handy card on the river, Dimmer. It was extraordinary to say the least that we've had the times that we have, and my children are indebted, I'm indebted, and there would genuinely be I can't imagine more than 10 minutes goes past, certainly when I wake up in the morning, where even just for a fleeting moment the memory comes back to me, holy cow, Richmond won 3 premierships in my lifetime. Today could definitely be worse. And I can't imagine a situation in the future where that won't happen. I could be penniless, ranting at the moon, and those memories will stay with me. So very grateful, very grateful. Mm-hmm. Because the narrative that is Richmond really does drive our thoughts. So, blessed. I feel absolutely blessed.
Well, you quoted statistics. You mentioned the draft. All you meant needed to say was hit outs to advantage and expected shots, and you'll have hit the Richmond Tiger Talk bingo card.
Yeah. Two games for McBean up till 2016, despite having been drafted in 2012. That almost was a straw, but. And he seems to leave on good terms with himself, with the club, who was not at pains, but was open in making clear that today that the announcement was a shock. The king is dead. Long live the king.
Mm. That he's gone out. We talked about this with another guest, but how rare that he's gone out on good terms. Like there'll be nothing. There'll be no question about anybody not turning up to the reunions. Like how often do football clubs get to manage transitions with so little ill will?
Yeah, well, it would be, I would say, in terms of Richmond coaches who have left when their club preferred that they didn't, it would be probably Yabby would possibly be the last one.
Who had the excuse of being really ill.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. And look, I was actually wildly optimistic about this Sunday, and I'm not quite sure what to think. I imagine it's quite a burden to carry. And, you know, I do like the suggestion that everyone should run out in long sleeves. I think that would be possible.
So, Simon, when you look back at this glorious long era, and I know you think a lot about history and past great moments, is there a particular moment that you really associate with Dimmer, not just the team, but Dimmer himself personally?
You know, for football clubs, you know, depend upon, you know, irrational support and hope. And I maintain that 2010 was one of my most enjoyable years. You know, the worse than Fitzroy, the saying no to priority picks, the paying out for us on a spoon before the bye, and then coming back, Jack kicks 10, we have that run, Swans at the G, and I was absolutely convinced that this young contemporary, you know, coach with experience at the highest level, and certainly with a lot of success behind him, was taking us somewhere, and I think he connected, well, he certainly seemed to connect very, very closely, very quickly, but it's probably the Sydney game of that year when, you know, Andy Collins, etc., and you know the camera flashes back to Dimmer, and he's absolutely ecstatic. Not wrapped like one, or you know, but he's a fan, and I felt a great deal of kinship and camaraderie with the bloke at that point. But there's honestly been too many to mention. Anytime anyone sees me on a tram staring into my phone, there's a pretty reasonable chance I'm watching highlights from a game that he has coached. most recently, it was the today it was the 2019 qualifying final. Good times. Good times.
Oh, deep cut that one. There's been a lot of nominations for greatest hits, but honestly, there's so many to choose from, and even I was thinking about, you know, what it was like when Ivan Marić came to the club, and what that meant, like how all these steps along the way, and how much more they mean because of what was achieved in the end.
Yeah, and I think we all spent our youth and our, yeah, fair degree of our adulthood too, just wondering what it would be like. I don't know about you, but I have a sense that now, after we've won them, I understand far more clearly how hard they are to win. Whereas previously, I was imagining the impossible, and I've referred to the 2017 prelim as being akin to, you know, walking through the wardrobe, just saying, holy cow, this is, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in Narnia. And it was just extraordinary. But,
you made that comment, on a chat we're on earlier today. And I've been thinking about it because it's only to your team that does it, that you realize how many things have to go right. You've ridden every bump, and you understand every little player that needed to be fit at the right time. And
yes, I could make a case for if any one of, I would say, you know, 6 to 8 players was called out by somebody else, then, you know, that That sends us out to a different dimension, and things are materially different. But yeah, just to have those things coalesce and so joyously, and even 2020, watching that from home, my boy who mostly says to me, either shut the door or when Dusty kicked that last goal, we hugged for a minute, and that doesn't happen in the MCC or standing room in M8. So having that experience was extraordinary as well. And we're not retiring. I plan to keep following the Tigers.
Yeah, have you got to the phase of wondering about Andrew McWalter yet?
I haven't had the bandwidth, to be honest. Professionally and personally, it's I've been flat out like a lizard drinking. But presumably he knows all their names, and he's got a fair idea about the game, and let's see how we go. But I've been feeling a little tiny bit fatigued as well. I'm not going to align myself with Dimmer's situation by any stretch, but I think when the year came around this year, for the first time in ages, I wasn't champing at the bit. Footy's back, cool, but I wasn't going off tap. So, and when you go to games, and success brings expectation. When you go to games fearful of losing instead of hopeful of winning, it's a different dynamic. And I'll just see how things happen. I'm not going to overinvest in, the 388 potential candidates that the Herald Sun throws up as to who will be our next senior coach. I'll happy to leave that to others with fulsome information.
Well, spare a thought for Dion Prestia and Tom Lynch, who are going to be coached by a former teammate, which I always think that's got to be a bit weird.
Yeah. Well, I did see a suggestion that, Jack could have gone play a coach, and that would have been interesting, but I don't know. I mean, the Fly experience and, his Fly's arrival as VFL coach in 2016 cannot be but mere coincidence. I don't go into the coach selection process with any horse in that race, although, I've been a Newey fan.
Yeah, and fair enough, and I know a lot of people feel that way. I think what this reminds us of, because Damien's, our relationship with our football club is a lifetime relationship, and it endures any one person, but this is such a big loss because it's been so... He realised it, and it's a one-way relationship. We know him, but he doesn't know us, but... It does feel like someone leaving your family.
Sure. And, I imagine it would be a difficult balance to strike in terms of do we look for a coach, most closely resembling or sharing the values and approach of one who's been so successful? Because there are certain values that he and before, in terms of the playing group, Koch, that you imagine now become fairly core tenets of Richmond leadership. I'm interested to see how it plays out, but now we have absolutely no rush.
All right, Simon, last question. You're a man pretty good at establishing rapport with people.
Mm-hmm.
10 years' time, you're in the same resort, and there's Dimmer having a quiet lemon squash at the poolside bar. You sidle up next to him and you strike up a conversation. Once you get past the sort of the pleasantries, what's your first question you're going to ask him that you really want to know the answer to?
Gee whiz. Yeah, that's a question without notice. I'll be interested if he's got any tips, because I do like it. How would it have gone if his laptop worked?
All right, that's a perfect note to end, Simon. Thank you for your time.
Anytime. Cheers.
Thanks, Simon. So, look, I don't know if I feel better, but I certainly feel grateful from having had the chance to talk through the Dimmer era. Andy, how are you feeling about it all?
Well, I really enjoyed the different perspectives people had, and, you know, no one had exactly the same answer, but we've already picked up on it, but how much people talked about connection is using the one of the Dimmer terms, but I guess it's appropriate. Yeah, it was great to hear different perspectives, but also every single person's view I related to, and there was something in it that I really enjoyed. So I was really grateful for it. But Nick, I've been sort of, other people I've been talking to, I've just been, like, we had a conversation a few weeks ago with Hardwick about, you know, and it's been referred to a few times as that.
About Hardwick, not with Hardwick.
Yeah, did I say with? My apologies. It's late. We've been going for 2 hours. Anyway, but about that, you know, we know his foibles, and, you know, it's part of my thing on the podcast. I come and complain about how he's using the 22nd person in the team. But, like, long ago, as I said, that accepted that he'll be the best coach we'll likely ever have statistically. And he'll always be my favorite coach, no matter, in the extremely unlikely event we are lucky enough to have a four-time premiership coach in our future. There was just nothing will ever replace 2017. And I just, one of the things I'm really sad about is I'll never get to listen to another Damien Hardwick post-match presser. Because I really liked his attitude, and sometimes it can be cranky, but he was always, he so rarely, and there's so few press conferences you can go through, like there were one or two, but whether he, when he was overly, where he threw someone under the bus or he criticized the players or anything, and he was almost always respectful to the journalists, unless he was sort of high theater in, you know, picking on Kane Corns or something like that. And even he acknowledged in the press conference that was a bit of a theater. I had such respect for him, the way he treated people, and we got to know him so well and his foibles. I'm really going to miss him.
I'm going to miss, after a loss, actually, when he would talk about un-Richmond-like football and just how everyone understood what that meant. Like, that was one of the great achievements of his coaching era, was particularly from 2017 onwards, like, everyone, all the coaches, all the players, the recruiting staff, the marketing team, you know, everyone understood what Richmond meant, and yeah, very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And I like the fact that he would randomly sprinkle stats into his
people.
He was always an accountant by trade, and so, like, he's clearly numerous on some level. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And Nick, also kind of one interesting conversation I had with people offline is the people who are a bit older and remember Tommy Hafey, and I think some of them have a reaction to Dimmer, like I will when I'm older, that Tommy, because Tommy broke a long premiership drought. He won a flag in his second year, but we hadn't won one since the 43, I think it was. I think it was a 24-year gap. So you can see why emotionally he meant so much. And my God, Nick, Tommy Hafey's Richmond record, if he'd only coached for Richmond, and he coached more than 200 games for us, of all 200-game coaches who've now retired, he would have the highest winning percentage of all time. So there's, as I said on the pod, I don't think you can compare eras, but like, Richmond has been uniquely blessed to have two of the greatest coaches of all time in the post-war era.
I'd recommend everyone have it's been circulating on social media today, but have a look at this halftime speech at the 2020 grand final. I think Dimmer says, you know, talks about what a tough game it's been and what's gone right and what hasn't. And he talks about how, you know, they're a very good team, but we're a great team. like that, just that self-belief and that identity that he helped instill. Like, it just, oh, we've been so lucky.
Also,
I do look. We're not going to talk at all about the Dreamtime game this week, and we'll talk more about Andrew McWalter next week. But it is, look, he has from the most humble of beginnings after he finished. You know, he got delisted twice by St Kilda, played as a rookie with Gold Coast, joined Richmond as a playing development coach for the VFL team. Like, he's sort of, you know, nothing was handed to him as the next heir apparent, but, you know, he's got the job through hard work, persistence, and having the respect of his peers. So, yeah, I'm glad he's getting a go.
Yeah, I'm completely open-minded to the era, and it would just be an interesting discovery process. Sunday's a really hard gig because it's not the usual coach replacement gig. So,
it'll be tough.
Yeah, if anything, my expectations for that game have gone down, not up. But I don't think, you know, no one should be judged on one game.
Yeah. Well, and what sort of emotional state are the players going to be in?
Well, they had a much closer relationship than we did, and we're all devastated. So, yeah. So it'll be complex though, because, you know, there is also the, you know, a different voice. You just don't know. We won't know till they play. But open-minded, it's a new era. And look, the only thing about Mini is that sort of, you know, you hip up, it's, as we've discussed before, it's impossible to judge assistant coaches.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
But there has always been, I've always heard positive whispers about him, as you'd expect for someone who's been such a long tenured employee. But it'll be really interesting. It'll be a rediscovery process, and he's not going to be as polished a media performer because he hasn't had the reps at Demers.
No, I had a look today, and he's done a few interviews, but the post game presser is going to be weird.
It is, but as this relationship with the club is forever, and Dimmer will be ever special in our hearts, and now we begin a new chapter.
Well, thanks again to all our guests. And I hope people enjoyed as much as we did. It's been a great experience. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about three flags by 2020. Fitzroy's played in more finals than you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carmichael Hunt. Pick up Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney.
West on to kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Cutting to slow. He's gone. No free kick, surely.
In the final home and away game of the season, obliterating the Tigers by 113 points.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Stuff of legend and champion, Justin. Go Tigers.